Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you are on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Hello and welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross once again. This show is appearing first on July 24. That would be Saturday. So if you hear this on a podcast later, just remember that the rules are as we know them as of July 24. Also, anytime you hear topics on our radio show / podcast, understand that we're assuming, and I guess if we're not going to assume it, we're going to tell you overtly that you need to discuss the strategies, concepts, tax rules, etc., with someone that's familiar with your facts and circumstances. And unless you're one of my existing clients, that's not me, without getting a lot more information from you, which I'm certainly willing to do, and we'll talk about that later in the show as to how you might connect with us. I want to elaborate even further on the KSEV disclaimer and just make sure you understand that just because you listen to this show, you hear us on a podcast somewhere, you send me an email, contact us, etc., that we or I are not your accountant yet, and until we have a executed invoice payment that includes our engagement terms, we're not able to consult with you. I want to start also by saying that we hope you'll find this show entertaining. I know I was just listening a little bit to the show right before mine, and it seems like there's always a disclaimer on that show that it is for entertainment purposes only. And now it's true, I do find some of the content, excuse me, on that show to be very entertaining, but I also understand the practical realities of the math involved on many of those concepts, and that's what I'm happy to share with you if you do connect with me. And I hope you'll be entertained by our show, but it's definitely not for entertainment. This is a serious, serious topic, especially in today's environment with respect to the current tax programs that look like they're coming. In fact, they look like they're coming more than ever now, although there's still some discontent amongst those in Washington that collaborate best, it seems, on spending our money. And I guess at times I can't even get that part right. But it looks like one way or the other, we're going to see some changes with respect to our deficit. Looks like it's going to get increased further, and it's going to be done with spending that Lord knows where the payment's going to come from to fund it all. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of agreement even on that front. Speaking of changes, one of the big changes that looks like it will happen, and I guess, you know, at this point it's a dice roll, but, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot of spending unless changes like this happen, because there's no money to pay for it. And I often think back, and I'm an old guy, so I'm 61 years old. I go back to the days when Ross Perot was running against Mr. Bill Clinton, and I think George Bush Sr., and several others. And I'll never forget on the debate stage when the moderator asked him to name their major program that they would devote American budgets to during their time as president, were they elected. And of course, Mr. Perot was not the favored candidate. He's always last to respond, it seemed like, the way the moderator would ask the questions. And He listened intently on the first four or five folks that were on the stage indicate their preferences and how they would spend the money. And when they got to him, I'll never forget, because this is how Ross Perot would think, is he looked at each one of them and said, well, you know, Mr. Bush, your plan to do whatever he was going to do is admirable. You know, Lord knows we need more of those type of expenditures. And, of course, you know, same with Bill Clinton, and I forget who the other couple were. And then he said, but I just got one question for you. Who's going to pay for that? And I'm looking at the current shenanigans going on in Congress where we're defining, you know, many things that aren't really, in my mind, they're not infrastructure, but boy, all of a sudden they become infrastructure because that's the code word to get it slammed into this budget reconciliation or the bipartisan agreement, which doesn't look like it's got much bipartisanship left as of this week. So I suspect you're going to see the reconciliation process used. And, you know, I have no idea if it's going to be, you know, $7 trillion or $3.9 trillion. I've seen numbers splashed around. But what I can tell you is that it's simple math as to how much longer we can undertake this type of spending. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's, you know, 2029, 2030, there is no more discretionary portion of the U.S. budget left based on collections. There will be no ability to fund the entirety of the interest on the debt, pure and simple. It's math. And I don't care what political a party you're affiliated with, and I've said many times over the last 30-plus years, the only difference in political party is how we're going to spend the money, not how much. And if you think one's better than the other at controlling deficits, you know, I've got news for you. You're wrong, and it's equally egregious on both sides of the aisle. All that said, let's forget about the folks in Washington, and let's worry about you and how you can deal with this. And as we ended last week's show, which would have been, again, if you're picking this up on a podcast, it would be the 17th, I'm sorry. Last Saturday, I was talking about the article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal discussing the death tax. I'm going to call it what it is. And you know, the quote in the article is that President Biden proposes to eliminate the loophole that allows the wealthiest Americans to entirely escape tax on their wealth by passing it down to heirs. And it further claims that our tax laws allow accumulated gains to be passed down across generations untaxed, exacerbating inequality. Now, that's akin to saying that I'm exploiting a loophole by deducting my property taxes, or perhaps I've got high medical expenses. These loopholes are statutes in the tax code. Like depreciation, for instance. You know, I as a real estate investor, I don't think of depreciation as a loophole. I think of it as my, well, it's not my God-given right, certainly, but it's my congressional-given right over many, many years. I don't look at that as a loophole. And so when the Congress talks about, or President Biden talks about eliminating the loophole, that's messaging, that's posturing to get your mind already wrapped around that those darn wealthy folks are doing something they shouldn't be doing. No, they're not. They're doing what they're encouraged to do by the tax code. And now, for the first time in our history, it's unbelievable how egregious this move is. For the first time in our history, we are going to tax people when they pass, or we're going to tax their estates or pass their heirs, however you want to look at it. It's going to reduce the wealth that will go to your heirs, whether you've disposed of the asset or not. That's the first issue. It's treated as if it was sold, even when it wasn't. And if it has debt against it, you don't get to subtract the debt. In other words, the basis doesn't come off the number that gets taxed. These are unbelievable shifts in tax rules. And, you know, when you look at the, I can't remember if it's in this article or another, over the next 25 years, as the baby boomers, which have already started or just get ready to start, pass away, we're looking at an estimated $68 trillion in wealth transfer. Now think about that. That's over twice what the current government will admit is our deficit. Depending on which number you believe, it's $28 to $30 trillion. And of course, that's not the real deficit. If you look at all the dollars we've already committed to, and you can go out to truthinaccounting.org if you want an independent body to tell you this, the true deficit is more in the $130 to $150 trillion range. And that would be what, I guess, if I were to use an accounting term, GAAP, General Accepted Accounting Principles, would require. If it were my business that I was providing financial reporting on, or your business, you would have to show on your balance sheet. But the way our country determines what we're going to publish, it's based on effectively whether we can still change the rules that we've already passed. These are also include inflationary adjustments, things of that nature, which are built into the current laws. And so the logic is, the reason we don't report that is we're going to change the rule at some point to remove that obligation, or we're going to adjust, I guess, maybe change the retirement age, reduce inflation adjustment, et cetera, et cetera. But in any event, as we ended last week's show, I was saying that we would start this week with explaining an option to get to sidestep this capital gains tax. And what I'm going to suggest there is, it may be obvious, the solution is obvious, how to execute it is anything but if we're going to tax capital gains at death, what do we not want to have when we pass away? We don't want capital gains. So how can we invest to avoid that? And, with regard to the strategies that we deploy, one of our flagship strategies is the use of a self-directed 401 trust. It's similar to a self-directed IRA, except for one major issue. Well, several issues, but the big one is that it's not subject to paying tax during the period that the IRA holds the investment, or I'm sorry, the 401 holds the investment, unlike the IRA. And many of you, even those of you that have invested your money in real estate private partnership syndications, which is what the majority of our clients do, with your IRA are not aware often that you're obligated to pay tax in a year you have positive taxable income that's reported to you on your K-1s. And I know that comes as quite a shock to people, especially folks that have Roth IRAs invested in these transactions, which are absolutely the asset space that you want to consider. It's just you got to understand which code section to execute those investments under so you don't lose or leak, as the term I use, 30% or more a year, or a year that you have positive taxable income. Certainly not every year, but it's going to be on the typically on the years that you exit or sell a property, or the partnership that you're in sells the property. And so in any event, the 401 trust is exempt from that requirement. And that gives us the ability to sidestep that tax. Let's pick up on this just for a short time when we come back, and then we'll move on to some other topics here today.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
I'm Adam Greathouse, United States Army.
Greg Gatson, Colonel, United States Army.
When I came back home, I realized something wasn't right with me.
I was wounded as a battalion commander.
I thought I was going to be stuck there. I thought everyone forgot me.
Hi, I'm Senator Mark Kelly. This year, make sure our veterans get the support they need and deserve. Let's take the time to thank those who put everything on the line for us.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross and the infamous words of Chris Christofferson and Bobby McGee, freedom's free and it's not worth much. Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit. Financial freedom is definitely something that you want to strive for, and I know, you know, we have shows that constantly reflect to, you know, the hype ending and help beginning when it comes to financial freedom. And they talk about unconventional wisdom, and we're on a mission to retire America, you know, one person at a time. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's good to hear. It's not what their actual core beliefs are that they refer to. My core belief with Be a Planner is less taxes, more profits. It's not taking control of your financial freedom in a fashion where you hand 30% of your retirement wealth to the IRS to get started. That's not even entertainment, you know, as far as I see it. That's just pure bad advice. And I've got an illustration on my website at beaplanner.com. If you'll scroll to the bottom of the home screen, you'll see that it's about $22-23 million of bad advice if you've got a $350,000 401k account with a big company. And we're going to show you how to take control of the path to financial freedom, even as you may choose to join these investor platforms. We hope you do, actually. We like several of them. We really like Steve Davis's Total Wealth Academy, who, you know, started here about a year and a half ago. Steve does a great job of explaining to you the different types of real estate, and moreover has training to help you get involved with not only the passive side of investing in real estate, but the active side as well. And in the case of folks that need to quickly add more wealth to their retirement buckets, he's got some options there to help you do that. So in any event, we like the platforms, most of them, and we suggest that the big issue with regard to the platforms really is not the tax treatment unless you get bad advice. It's spurring you to take action. And I'll fully admit, having been a member of several of these platforms over the last 20 years, there's good reasons to immerse yourself with other folks of a like-minded persuasion when it comes to real estate, and to actually see the successes and the failures, you know, if it's fully transparent, of the members of these organizations. And in fact, I would argue that the reason to join any of the platforms you might hear about here in Houston, Dallas, etc., and across the country, is never the platform itself. It's the people, the other members like yourself, that are going to be in the platform where you can have the mutual fellowship and understanding, and perhaps ask about, you know, one of the other members you're thinking about investing with, what we call the lead partners or the syndicators, and to get an unbiased answer to those questions, you know, from somebody that's not selling you the membership effectively. And not that you don't need their take and their spin, you do, but that's the scenario where, you know, 50% of it is likely wrong. You won't know which 50% unless you're working with someone that's done this for 20 years like us and have been members of assorted of these organizations. We understand the math. We'll help you analyze the math, and we will help you take control of your path to financial freedom in a fashion that will generate twice the throughput or twice the retirement wealth due to, again, paying less taxes, more profits as you begin your quest. In any event, just to wrap up the end of the last segment, we were talking about the Biden capital gains plans. Just understand that the self-directed 401 trust not only avoids paying the tax that would otherwise be paid by an IRA invested in leveraged investments, what we call UDFI. It's an acronym for unrelated debt financed income, or some people refer to it as the leverage tax. You know, if the transaction has leverage, which every transaction you invest in will, or you're not going to be making money. And so we avoid that. We have a code section that gives us it's a statute. It's not a court case. It's not we think we're interpreting it right kind of thing. It's black and white. We have a huge exemption, code section 514C9, that avoids us paying that tax. Therefore, the self-directed 401 trust has an additional 30% capital to work with as you march through the years towards your ultimate goal, or as you start taking money out. You know, the 401 trust is the 401 that pays you. Unlike the big company 401, where, you know, it seems like you're just shoving money that direction, with a 401 trust, you have the ability to write yourself checks when you're ready to pay tax. And of course, it's only on that amount. It's not on the whole account that you would incur the tax. And again, that's understanding that, hey, there's a code section out there that's better than the stick our head in the sand, rip the Band-Aid off approach that you hear on the radio very loudly on a daily basis on this station and others. And I understand that's one way. That's actually one of the four ways that we show you is your only four options to invest your retirement money in real estate. And by the way, it's the worst one of the four is to simply pay your tax now, where you're killing many, many geese that can lay the compounded golden eggs that we'll show you how to keep, thereby less tax, more profit. I'm going to keep saying that. That's the key. And so in any event, 401 assets escape the Biden capital gains tax, as opposed to one of the strategies I've seen a lot of people execute over the years of buying a property. If they're buying what we call an IRO, independent real estate operator, you're buying your own 8-unit, 10-unit, 50-unit, 200-unit. We've got clients that have done all those levels, and you execute tax-free exchanges as you move up the chain, buying bigger and more appealing, financially more appealing properties, and then you're counting on the step up in basis tax provision that, as I just mentioned, is going to go away if Biden has his way, but you were counting on that to avoid the tax. You were part of those taxpayers that were exploiting that horrible loophole of the wealthy. Well, you know, if it goes away, now your heirs are going to pay not just a little bit of tax, they're going to pay a lot of bit of tax based on the fair market value of that property, not the net with the mortgage, which, you know, we espouse keeping a property fully leveraged. That's how we get cash flow in large measures, by refinancing properties that we've been able to affect the NOI, or net operating income. And so it's going to be a rude awakening to that strategy if this law passes. And I would tell you right now, parts of it will. Now, whether or not this specific provision, the step up in basis, does or not. I don't know, because let's face it, members of both parties are exploiting these loopholes. Let's just call it a loophole, both parties. And in fact, I think it's well known that Ms. Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has more than a few very lucrative real estate investments. So I hope that whatever does pass, we have a chance to read it, which I know would be unusual with this crowd, but I hope we understand where the, quote, snakes are buried, because there will be snakes buried. You can rest assured in terms of who this provision affects. Speaking of the 401 trust, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you have to do to qualify. And, you know, a lot of times when we talk about it on the air, you know, people are joining us midstream in the discussion, or maybe they are tuning in for the first time today, and they don't even know what a 401 trust is, and I guess I want to clarify. The marketing term that you may have heard about if you're looking at deploying retirement funds is Solo K. And so many of the IRA custodians will offer a Solo K, and essentially it is a single employee retirement plan, and it falls within the 401 trust area of the code. I refer to it as a 401 trust because that's what the Internal Revenue Code refers to it as. You won't see the term Solo K mentioned anywhere in the Internal Revenue Code. Again, it's marketing. And, you know, the type of service that most custodians will provide you, it's very similar to the self-directed IRA market, where, you know, they will I guess track your funds. I've lost track of what they all do because they're all a little bit different, but they'll do a little bit of accounting. They will help with filing or submitting your annual Form 5500s. They usually require that you ask permission to invest the money, etc. We deploy the 401 trust, or call it a Solo K, with none of that, because there is no statutory requirement, meaning there is no rule that says you have to have a custodian. Unlike the self-directed IRA, you will be the trustee, you will be the plan administrator, and you will have the checkbook. You will determine when, where, how much, and to whom you're going to invest those funds. And of course, we're riding shotgun with you to help you understand whether certain investments qualify for that tax exemption that I mentioned earlier. Some investments don't. And if you buy or you invest in a coffee shop, for instance, or a trade or business, or if you invest in other businesses that the IRS considers trader businesses that you might not think are, for instance, self-storage is one that we're seeing a lot of these days, where depending on the level of ancillary services that are offered, and as an example with self-storage, if you've got U-Haul trucks sitting out front that you rent, you're selling tape and packaging supplies and renting dollies, offering logistical services, moving services, etc. That's a trader business. That's just like my properties in San Antonio along the Riverwalk. We operated effectively as a boutique hotel. That is not rental real estate. It has a different set of rules. The self-employment tax applies, which can be positive or not positive, depending on your vantage point. I would argue when you understand what I'm getting ready to tell you about the 401 trust, you're going to think, gee, I need to start a trader business. So in any event, there's two types of qualification that we have to have. And I guess since I'm hearing the music come, let's circle back after the break and we'll go into qualification. I'm also going to suggest, if you have questions, it is a live show this week, or at least it is on Saturday, July 24, 2021. Feel free to call 281-558-5738 or email me, nathan@npross.com, and I'll watch for your email and try to answer questions real time. We'll be back shortly. Just for fun, he says, get a job. That's
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
How would you like to help save a life simply by praying at the right place and the right time? Houston Coalition for Life invites you to join in their mission that has seen over 9,400 women choose life for their unborn child. Join pro-life volunteers as they peacefully stand and pray outside of Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities throughout the year. Sign up for 1 hour of prayer as Houston Coalition for Life offers free ultrasounds and practical assistance. Join Houston Coalition for Life in empowering pregnant women today. Learn more at Houston Coalition.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross. And just like Neil, we're looking for that overdue exit. For those of you that are behind, you're on the highway to nowhere with your retirement savings looking for an option. And, you know, we are not a group that you invest with, unlike some of the others you hear on the air, or invest with members or syndicators that come through their platform. And I understand the platform itself does not offer investments, or at least the ones I work with. However, it's hard to tell that at times because of some of the rules they have. And for instance, one of the larger platforms across the country based here in Houston, they don't promote investments, or so they say. And yet when you understand the rules of who they allow to syndicate, it strains credulity, I believe is the correct term, to believe that that's not something they had something to do with. And I know if you wanted to bring a project into their platform and syndicate it, you wouldn't be able to. So call it what it is. It really doesn't matter. In fact, I'd say join that platform if you're of a mind to. It's got some benefits, I think, that put it at or near the top in many respects. We'll show you how to exploit their rules to where it actually works to your strength and to your favor, and you should be fine. But there are many options, and in fact, speaking of platforms, there's absolutely no reason, mandatory reason, you have to join a platform. And I'm going to say it again, no reason you have to join a platform to invest in private syndications. There's many options out there. We'll introduce you to some of those. We'll help you analyze the options to make sure it comports to what your math objectives are as you proceed down the path to acquiring wealth accumulation. And I'll tell you right now, it's just like buying a piece of real estate. There are no perfect projects, no perfect lead partners, syndicators, platforms, etc. It's like looking at apartment buildings. If you're the guy buying it or gal, at some point you're going to have to either back out or hold your nose and move forward, because again, there's no such thing as perfection. If there were, you couldn't afford it. That's the reason we can buy beat up old Class C apartments and undertake repairs, or single family properties. Is because they have significant deferred maintenance. As the I don't want to say the name, but as the TV ad say, we buy ugly houses. Well, you know, how do you think, or what do you think they pay you for those ugly houses? They're not paying you like it's one you want to move in tomorrow and live in, okay? Just FYI, you're not going to get much. That said, that's opportunity calling. And if you can be the one buying, and if you can affect the income that comes in off that asset, not so much on the single family side, but on the multifamily side, the apartment building side, it is magic how the value is changed by you doing the right things. And so in any event, you know, I would suggest to you that, you know, if you do feel, you know, if you're listening to this show, you understand that you're behind, you think, well, gee, here's an option that could get me caught up on my retirement savings. All I would implore you to do is think about the fact that there's multiple options for you to move forward, and they are striking the stark contrast between executing under the right option, you know, doing what you may hear the loudest guy in the room, quote unquote, say. And let's take a look at what's smart, not just what's loud. Let's look at what's smart and understand that there is no restriction, a significant restriction, to you executing under the right code section. And that's true, by the way, of whether it's investing your 401 money or whether it's your current personal tax situation. And more about that later, how we can help you with that. Anyway, let's go back to the 401 qualifications. There are two elements that you have to be aware of, and these are key. You must own a business, and we'll go into that here in a second as to what that entails. And secondly, your business must have zero employees, defined as someone that works for you for more than 1,000 hours per year and receives W-2 wages. You and your spouse count as one. So you can have yourselves, but no other full-time employees. And in fact, 1,000 hours per year is the mark. So if you already qualify, like for instance, if you're a realtor or if you're an attorney, you're an accountant, you're a person that flips properties or wholesales properties, or you're a consultant, or you have a Mary Kay business, or you have an eBay business, if you're reporting your income as being self-employed, meaning you have a Schedule C, or meaning you work for, maybe you do dental work, you're a dentist or a hygienist, and you're paid as an independent contractor. And without getting into the discussion of what qualifies one as independent contractor or not, that's a whole nother set of rules, but I'm just trying to indicate you may already be self-employed. Most of the people that come to us are in one shape or fashion. And so if you're not, let's discuss some of the other options. You know, let's talk about the modern investor. The modern investor, at least the ones that come to us, either own or are already thinking about owning a small business. Much more common and much different today in the information age that we find ourselves in versus the industrial age. You know, if you think back to your grandparents, they were usually employed, or at least many were. My grandparents were self-employed. They owned a convenience store, as an example. And they actually ran it themselves. There were no employees, so they would have qualified. But business ownership, you know, can be as simple as doing a few extra things on the side. In other words, you can be a full-time employee working for someone else and separately qualify as a business owner, which means you have the ability, even though you're paying into a 401 plan at the office, you still have the ability to do your own 401 trust and within limits. You know, we do have to consider the funds that you're contributing to that plan, including the employer match, but suffice it to say that the limitations on the 401 trust still leave room for you to participate with your own plan. So business ownership, you know, we can structure it as a C corporation or an S corporation, an LLC, which is effectively a partnership. It can be a single member LLC and can be the simplest, most common form of business ownership on the planet. Sole proprietorship. It's a person who does work on their own, such as a freelancer, independent contractor, or solopreneur would be how some people refer to that. So the last category, sole proprietorship, is the most common because it's simply somebody that works for themselves. It requires no separate filings, no government stamps, no extra tax returns, and that's why that simplicity is the reason that it's the most common. Now, that said, there's many other issues with respect to the choice of entity that should be considered. Please don't run out and start your own little sole proprietorship without having a discussion with your current advisors as to what might be best given your facts and circumstances. You may have assets that could be exposed unwittingly that you should protect. And so there's assorted strategies that we might employ to do that. And it might be to put a protective fence around those assets that you've got that could be damaged versus the self-employment activity. There's multiple ways to approach that. Now let's move on here. I'm going to suggest that not owning a small business in this current environment, especially with what's coming tax-wise, is a big mistake. And I understand we all have preconceived notions, I'm going to call them misconceptions in most cases, that may have been true for your grandfolks. In other words, back in the industrial era, things like, you know, I'm going to be risking substantial capital or time. This just isn't the case. Try downloading an Airbnb app on your cell phone and rent a piece of property on a short-term rental basis. That's a trader business, okay? I know that well. My two properties have been, we've been super hosts for, 10 years or more now within that arena, and that's the opportunity that some of you already have. You may already have a property. Maybe you've got access to, or you have friends that have properties that would love to partner with you on you taking control of the marketing of those properties. Start yourself or your short-term rental business. Great way to become self-employed. One other issue here is being a business owner gives you access to certain deductions that can help lower your taxes. Remember our mantra, less tax, more profit, by making some of the expenses tax deductible that wouldn't be otherwise. For instance, your internet bill, partial, perhaps, part of your phone bill, some of the books and business topical items you buy, supplies, etc., all of a sudden become deductible. And when you understand that one of the biggest lifetime expenses, some say the biggest, of an American is taxes, and that most people overpay their taxes, this will get your mind working on, well, what else can we do? And that's what we do. We do tax planning based on analyzing where you're at. We diagnose your situation, and we come back to you and say, this is what we see as being your ailments. Let's help you fix those. Here's a written plan. And then lastly, we're available to help you execute. You know, we can actually fulfill that prescription we gave you, or maybe undertake the operation. That's up to you. But the point is, almost everyone that's filing tax returns has one of assorted strategies. The software system we utilize looks at over 300 strategies that we look to see if any one or two of those might affect your taxes to make your tax bill less. Sounds like we're coming up to another break, and I think we're coming back for a few minutes, but it's going to be a short segment. If you want to talk to me or ask a question, give us a call, 281-558-5738. 5738, and we'll continue our tax planning discussion or qualification discussion when we return.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, wherever the mission takes us, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for our nation, for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, and that's a great song by Creedence Clearwater Revival. I love the rummage sale reference. In any event, we were talking about qualification, 401 trust, and I wanted to just go down a couple of FAQ questions, frequently asked questions. I've already answered the first one. Can I own a business on the side of the W-2 job I work in? Absolutely, yes. Can my spouse or I own a business that has full-time W-2 employees? No. If you or your spouse own a business that has employees that work more than the 1,000 hours per year level, you won't qualify typically. There are a few exceptions. Can my spouse participate in my 401 trust? Yes, if he or she performs services for the businesses and receives compensation, they absolutely can. And here's a big one. How much do I have to contribute to the 401 trust each year? In other words, it is at base a single employee retirement plan. Let's not lose track of that or focus of that. And the answer is there has to be an intent to qualify now. There has to be an intent to earn revenue and make contributions to the solo 401k. So your actions have to support the notion that that's what our goal is. But there are no minimum annual amounts provided by the statutes. The IRS does not discriminate against business owners with a required minimum business success versus the large companies, and today it's easy to have some amount of legitimate business activity occurring each year. So, you know, these are topics and questions we can certainly talk more about, but I want to encourage people, you know, understand this is really, this option, the solo K or the 401 trust, you can call it what you want, is truly available to most people. Especially, you know, if you have a computer or a vehicle, you have some mode of transportation, be it on the electronic highway or the real highway, to where there are a lot of things you can do now to generate side gig type income. In fact, go Google side gig and you'll see some sites that have, you know, 800 suggestions. It's, you know, it's not that hard to accomplish this. And once you understand that with a 401 trust or solo K, 2 + 2 no longer equals 4 if you've got a place to invest the money, meaning real estate, private placement syndications, which generate typically above average returns. All of a sudden, that 2 + 2 is equal to 7, because it's not just the fact that you're able to contribute to retirement savings. It's what's going to happen after you contribute, and then you control where it's invested. You're not limited to index funds, mutual funds, stocks, etc., that are really more like a yo-yo at times than they are wealth accumulation. And I'm going to suggest to you that if you're behind the eight ball on retirement savings, you really have very few options as to what's going to consistently get you there. And by the way, I'm not going to suggest that the real estate market is immune from market fluctuations. It certainly is not. However, it's much less pronounced than what I've watched this week, as an example, and other weeks. And moreover, unlike most stocks, you know, index funds, etc., real estate, especially multifamily properties, there's a more direct impact on your ability as a investor, even if you're investing in a partnership. Let's say the lead partner has much more capability of impacting the directional movement of that value going up than almost any stock or any mutual fund, et cetera, that you might choose to invest in. Now, I guess going down might be a different story, because you see that every day. I mean, you know, every time Tesla's owner, I won't mention the name, opens his mouth about not just his company but other companies, there's wild fluctuations in the market. I've never seen that with a lead partner or syndicator on an apartment building. I've never seen that. 20 plus years of doing this, that hadn't happened. In any event, we've just got a couple minutes left here, and I guess I want to leave you with your options here. You've got four options if you're trying to invest your retirement money. There are better ways of doing that than others. We focus on the math when we try to provide you with those options. Most people get it when they see the illustration I do. They may not right away. I'll admit it's a fire hydrant. If you look at that one-page summary, I'll spend a couple hours with you discussing that for your facts and circumstances to help you understand what your specific options are. We'll actually ask you how much money you have to get started. We'll also ask you, how do you define retirement? It's likely not the $60,000 after tax that other groups purportedly consider retirement. We understand that, like Neil Diamond, you want to do more than just get by, and that's what we'll help you do. I hear the music starting, so I guess I'm going to sign off for this week. As always, I really enjoy putting this information out there. I know, in spite of the lack of phone calls, trust me, I get emails, I get texts from existing clients, and we've got some big things coming here. To stay tuned in, we're going to be offering some memberships to help you in your quest to pay less tax and generate more profits. Look forward to next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.
All right. Ow!